if you have a Bible, whether it's on a hard copy or on a device, would you turn to Luke chapter 2, where getting to know Luke chapter 2 verses 8 to 20 really well over a 3-week period. And we're asking this question, who is Christmas for? Which might seem like a very strange question, but it's an important question and it affects how we engage with Christmas. And this passage, Luke 2, 8 to 20, has three answers for that question. And each of those answers is important to our experience of Christmas. The first answer we looked at last week was this: Christmas is for everyone, but it's not the same for everyone. And the big idea is that simply if you focus on the Christmas experience, what maybe our culture tells you Christmas ought to look like for you, or what it was like for you growing up, or how the neighbors are doing it, or how somebody else is doing it, if we focus on how we're experiencing Christmas, then we will at best have a very superficial Christmas, because let's be honest, most Christmases don't have Christ at the center of it. And so it will be superficial. But not only that, but you'll fill your life with pressure to measure up to what other expectations of Christmas are. But if you focus instead, not so much on how you celebrate Christmas, but on the message that is at the center of Christmas, that good news which is of great joy for all people, then however it is that you do express that in your home, in your family, in your friendships, you know, wherever you may find yourself, then that will be rich, it will be meaningful, and it will overflow to others. So Christmas is for everyone. It is good news of great joy for all people. But just don't expect your Christmas to look the same as everyone else's. Be open to how God wants your Christmas to look, and make sure that it's centered on the message of Christmas, and then it will be a rich experience for you. And it's been fun over the last couple of weeks to hear from different people in our church community about how we're keeping the meaning of Christmas central to how we celebrate Christmas. And if you're part of our Facebook group, people have put up some photos of how they make sure in their homes that the story of Christmas is at the center. And that's been nice to be a part of. Well, today we move on to the second answer that Luke chapter 2 gives us about who is Christmas for. And the second and the third answers to that question are perhaps less obvious, but they are also really, really important. Here's the second answer. Christmas is for angels. Have you ever thought about what Christmas means to angels? Let's relook at our passage in Luke 2. And as we read through it this week, really tune in to the experience of the angels that is described in the story. Let's read it together, either on the screen or on the Bible in front of you. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So what do you think it meant for those angels to have the role that they did in the Christmas story? Have you ever thought about angels having emotions like we do and actually being engaged in what they were doing? Or do you tend to think of them as kind of robotically just doing God's will? One of my favorite passages that speaks into this is actually found in 1 Peter chapter 1. And if you're not familiar with the letter of 1 Peter, I think it's a letter that is going to be increasingly relevant to us as what we believe becomes more and more unpopular in the world around us. Let's have a look at 1 Peter 1 from verses 3 to 12. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. As Peter begins his letter, he's just reminding us of how awesome the salvation is that we have received in Jesus. And even though this world may seem dark at times, and even though our beliefs may be unpopular, and even though we may need to pay a price for owning our faith in Jesus and not hiding it away, what we are looking forward to is worth it. There is a salvation that is ready to be revealed. When Jesus Christ returns and makes all things new, it is going to be amazing. And we know that he will fulfill that promise because he fulfilled his promise to rise again, even after he had been crucified in our place. The story goes on, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, and sometimes, let's be honest, the little while of our lives on this earth may feel like a really long time of hardship, but yet in the context of eternity, it's a short chapter. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And have you experienced those moments in life when life is difficult and you feel like the road is dark ahead of you and you're just going, oh God, where are you? And Peter's reminding us, hey, remember, look backward to what Jesus has done. Look forward to what he has promised. You are receiving something that is worth more than gold. And your faith is what keeps you grounded in the reality of what you look forward to. And as the passage comes to a close, concerning this salvation, this precious gift of eternal life in Jesus that we hold on to as a sure hope for our future. The prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So as we've celebrated communion, we look back to the story of how God saved us from sin and death, how God has given us eternal life through faith in Jesus, how God has assured us that we will be forever in eternity with him because Jesus rose from the dead. And so we can be confident that God can raise us as well. We look back to all of these things, but in history, before those events happened, what were the prophets doing? God revealed little snapshots of what was to come so that we would know he had a plan and we could look back and say, wow, God predicted all this. It was no accident. He really did have a plan for our salvation. But those who lived before it happened, God would reveal a part of the story and they would want to know the whole story. They'd look forward and go, man, you know, imagine Isaiah writing out the prophecy that God gave him 700 years before the birth of Christ. And he's going, man, I wish I knew what this was actually going to look like. I've got a bit of an idea, but I've only got the bit that God's revealed, and we get to look back and see the full story. But here's how the passage closes off. It was revealed to them that they weren't serving themselves, but you when they spoke of these things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Isaiah, he didn't get the full story, but now that we have heard about this truth, we get to look back and see how God promised it centuries in advance, and we know, hey, this wasn't made up on the fly. God always had a plan. Our salvation is based on real historical truths embedded in history, and we benefit from all that is recorded in the scriptures. But here's the kicker. Even angels long to look into these things. I love that little phrase, even angels. This story of how God has saved us is so amazing that even the angels watching on from heaven love to look into, to think about, to wonder what's going to come next. They love to look into this unfolding plan that God has for our salvation, what God is doing in the world. Who's ever been caught up in like a really gripping novel? And for those of you who haven't, you know, just think of a movie. But I like novels because they take longer to read. And you know how you want to get back from work and have dinner and get stuff done so you can just sit down and keep reading the next chapter because you left it on a bit of a cliffhanger? You can't wait to see how the story resolves. The angels have been getting that for thousands of years. They saw God create the world, make it a good and perfect home for humanity. They saw the first humans reject God's rule, and they saw sin and death make a mess of God's world. They've seen the highs and lows of human history, where sometimes we live up to the goodness that God placed in us at creation, and sometimes we reflect the sinfulness of our choice to reject God. And they had hearts broken and hearts full of joy. They've been on the ride through history, but the story isn't finished yet. And the angels, they got to, as our story in Luke chapter 2 talks about, they got to announce that next chapter of the Saviour being born. They didn't have all of the information about what his life would entail. They were watching on. Can you imagine what that was like for them? The Son of God, who has been with them in heaven for eternity past, is now becoming human. I mean, they're seeing God the Son in a way they've never seen him before. It's like, what's going on here? And then they get to see the agony of the cross, and you can imagine how outraged they would have been. Their creator, the creator of the universe, the God who is to be forever praised and exalted, was being treated by these mere humans in such a despicable way. I mean, I can imagine that, you know, for example, I'm named after Michael the Archangel, and he's known as the leader of the heavenly host. You know, so kind of the leader of the Lord's armies. And I can imagine him kind of going, hold me back, because I'll teach these guys a lesson. He would have been outraged to see what people did to God in Christ. But then to see 3 days later when Jesus rose from the dead, and to see how in Christ, through faith in Christ, we then get to be reconciled with God, and we have a hope of being cleansed from sin and being brought into a glorious eternal existence. And he's seen the next chapter and gone, oh, wow. So that was God's plan. So do you get the sense of when 1 Peter was being written to people who are struggling, because the stage of the story they're in is dark, they're being persecuted, they're being reminded, hey, God has a wonderful story that goes into eternity. And the prophets have been speaking about it, and we've been seeing it unfold, and you need to know that it is a story with a glorious ending, and even the angels are just gripped as they watch this story unfold. And the angels get to play a role in it. Have you ever had the privilege of announcing good news to people? You see, the angels aren't just in heaven watching on as God does his thing in human history. The angels are getting to represent God in the story. So that kind of leads us to the question of, well, since we're speaking about angels, what are angels anyway? That's probably a good thing to cover. So the word angel is actually translated from a couple of words in the New Testament, that first one, angelos, and in the Old Testament, malak in Hebrew. So these Greek and Hebrew words are translated into English using the word angel. And they both mean the same thing. But what they mean is not so much about who these beings are, but what they do. Let me explain what I mean by that. If you're looking at me, which most of you are at the moment, you would describe me as, hopefully, a human. A very sore, hobbling human, it's true, but I am a human. You might even say, go a bit further and say, there's a man. That's true, that's who I am. That's independent of anything I might do. I am a human because I was created to be human by God. But I'm also a pastor. And a pastor is what I do, but it's also kind of who I am, because God made me in a particular way with a future in mind for me. So I'm given a title that represents what I do, but so what we do is an expression of who we are and how God's made us. God has a purpose in mind for us. So the same is true of angels. When we read the word angel in the Bible, we are thinking not so much about who these heavenly beings are, but also what they do as an expression of what they were created for. So it's more of a doing, a describing word than just that describes their being in themselves. So the word angel literally just means an ambassador, an envoy, somebody who comes to represent God to us. And so whenever the word is used in either the Old Testament or the New, there's something going on where these heavenly beings have come to interact with humanity in order to represent God, to deliver a message or to perform some action on his behalf. And there are other words that are used of these beings in situations where they're not representing God to humanity. For example, even in verse 13 of our passage, they're simply referred to as the heavenly host. So, why do we care that when the Bible talks about them as angels, it's actually talking about them as representing God, being his envoys, being his ambassadors? Well, it's because of how great an experience that would have been for these particular heavenly beings to be angels on this occasion. They get to be God's representatives in bringing some terrific news. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That's great news to bring to a world struggling in darkness. Now, how many of you have ever had the privilege of sharing good news with people? I mean, maybe not quite so momentous a message as that one, but maybe as momentous a message as that one. On Friday, a week ago, we purchased a present for our family. This year, we're kind of all going in on one big family Christmas present, and I'm not spoiling anything because we actually gave it to the family last Friday. It's a table tennis set. It's a table, it's a net, it's four paddles, it's a whole bucket of balls because we'll break or lose most of them. And so we got to reveal that on Friday. But here's how it happened. I went and picked it up because Friday's my day off, with Tim, because I needed a bit of a hand. So Tim got to find out about this present before his siblings. And then, the next morning when we unveiled it, Tim got to do the unveiling. So we went out to the garage, and Tim got to share the story. Hey guys, this is what we've got. Here it is. And you could tell that Tim really enjoyed being the messenger to say to the rest of the family, hey guys, look what we get to enjoy over Christmas. It was a great moment, wasn't it, Tim? So the thing is, he did not pay for that, all right? He did not plan it, all right? It was purely, well, me and Carolyn. But he did get to be the messenger, and it still felt great. It's a similar story here with the angels. They weren't the one who planned the story of salvation. They weren't going to be the ones who would pay the price for our salvation. But they do get the joy of being the ones to bring the good news. And that still feels great. It's still an important role, and it's a joyful role to play. And so the angels in this story are getting to play this wonderful role. And I think we should feel kind of pleased for them that they get to do that. So that's kind of what I mean when I say that Christmas is for angels, because even as you read the story, you go, wow, this would have been just a wonderful next step in the story. The angels, as they've watched what's happened in the nation of Israel, as they've seen it in the condition that it's in, as they've wondered over the last several hundred years, wow, where's things going from here? Now they're getting to be a part of a glorious new chapter. But here's another reason why this is actually really important for us to think about. Christmas is for angels, and we're angels too. Maybe as you think about how our society uses the word angels and think about how you live, you might think, well, I don't always act like an angel. But remember what the word actually means. God's representative, his ambassador to humanity. And just like angels don't always understand the full significance of what they've been sent to do. Just like angels don't know the end of the story perfectly. They've got some ideas, but they don't know it all. So for us, we don't always understand why God sends us to do what he sends us to do. We don't always know the details of how things are going to unfold, but we do know what it's moving toward. We do know the big picture, just like God's heavenly angels. But in the New Testament, I find this really interesting. That word angelos, which is used in this story of that heavenly being who's representing God and giving his message, it's also used of human beings. It's used, for example, of John the Baptist. It's used of Jesus. It's used of both of their followers. These are the ones who are representing God to the world. And so, you and I, similarly, were commissioned by Jesus to be his ambassadors, to be the ones who are his witnesses, and because he was based and they were starting the movement of Christianity from the city of Jerusalem, Jesus said, remember, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world, including Perth and Western Australia, and wherever it is that our message reaches. Everyone has a role to play in God's story. And that's something we notice in Luke chapter 2. Not only did the shepherds get a brilliant Christmas experience, and if you were here last week, that's what we reflected on, but they also got to play a role in the story. They got to be God's representatives, his messengers, his ambassadors. They got to be the first human beings to announce the birth of Jesus to the world. So some heavenly beings got to announce the news, and then some human beings got to announce the news. Both got to share the good news, which is of great joy to all people, with humans. And sometime later, when the Magi arrived, their role was to worship Jesus and to give him some gifts. And those gifts were really important symbols of what Jesus' life and ministry was going to be about. And they were also very valuable. And they resourced the family as they needed to flee persecution. The Magi had a particular role in the story. The shepherds, they did not have the kind of resources that these Magi had. But they were called to play a very unique role. They were called to be messengers. And in a similar way, you don't need to have the same resources as anyone else. You don't need to be in the same circumstances. You don't need to be good at the same sorts of things. All of us can have a particular role that we have been called to play, to be messengers of the good news, which is of great joy. You can be an angel if you're willing. You can be God's representative to share good news to others. And as we heard a couple of weeks back from Romans 10, the world desperately needs more of these people. Because how can people be saved through faith in Jesus if they don't even know the story of how he's come to save us? And maybe you'll get the chance to do that today by sharing a Carol's broadcast with people. Maybe you've done it by thoughtfully decorating your home. Maybe it's in as you pray for God to just guide conversations that you have with people over the Christmas season. Maybe you do it by really prayerfully writing in Christmas cards as you send out to family and friends. Maybe you'll do it by inviting people here to a Christmas Eve service or to some other focused activity which has Jesus at the center of it. And maybe you did it by putting together a Christmas shoebox or buying a gift from the Great Gifts Catalogue. There are so many different ways that we can actually represent God and bring his message to the world. And maybe it's as simple as just what you're sharing on social media at the moment. There's some great posts going up which really put the meaning for the season in people's minds. There are so many different methods, but it's the message that counts. In our passage, we read the good news that a Saviour has been born to us. He is Christ the Lord. Do you, first of all, understand what that means for you? That's the starting point. Christmas is for everyone. Make sure that you've got a hold of that message. But secondly, do you understand that Christmas is also a time for you to be an angel? It's a time for you to bring that message to other people so that everyone has the chance to know why Christmas is important. So, my parents, when I was young, perhaps wouldn't describe me as an angel for a majority of the time, but here's the real truth. We are all, if you know the message, you are called to be an ambassador of the message. There are heavenly angels, and they got to play a brilliant role in Luke chapter 2, and wow, weren't the shepherds pleased that they got to hear that news in such an amazing way. I wonder who might be eternally grateful that they got to hear the good news from somebody just like you or me. That's what this season is for. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are able to use each of us uniquely. We thank you that you have placed each of us uniquely in social circles, in family groups, in friendship circles, in workplaces. Lord, you've given us friends online. There are so many different ways that you have connected us with people. And part of your plan in doing that is so that we can bring your message, a message which is good news of great joy to all people. Lord, as Peter wrote about in his letter to Christians, there are times when sharing the message is not popular. There are times where we will endure hostility. Lord, would you help us to have the wisdom to understand how we can present that message in a way that people can actually hear the good news of Jesus? To not be kind of, overly confrontational or insensitive or whatever it might be, argumentative about how we do it, but with gentleness, with sincerity, and with deep love for people, the same traits that you have displayed toward us. Would you help us to represent you well to others? So God, just in the quietness of this time, you know our schedules, you know the people around us, you know already those you have placed on our hearts and minds. Would you just give us that sense as we head out in a few moments of how you would have us to represent you well? Lord, if we've been wondering about whether to send that card or to make that invitation or whatever it might be, Lord, would you just give us the courage and the faith to trust that you'll work through it according to your good pleasure? God, use us as your representatives, we pray. May we be angels this Christmas season. We thank you in the name of Christ our Saviour. Amen. Thanks, guys.